When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It's the top of the week. We hope everybody had a great weekend, and we hope that you are in the mood for strange things and news, because that's what we do at the top of the week. We explore strange news. Today, we're going to see some news that might strike people as sad. I think it's a good thing. We're going to see a brief car chase that might surprise you. We're also going to, I think, enter into a discussion that initially feels good, but might have some long-range consequences. It's about the power of private tech companies. But I was thinking,
Ben, quickly, before you jump in, I think we need to make a new kids show. We'll call it Blues News. It'll feature some kind of blue little character, maybe a cat this time, that we explore news that gives us the blues together.
We need to vet that with legal, though. We don't want to risk copyright infringement.
What about a blue gnu? Right? Isn't that? I'm just thinking in terms of rhymes here.
Do you remember that that cartoon from the, like, I think 70s, the Herculoids? Wait, no, never mind. It's not the Herculoids. It was a weird offshoot, like alternate reality version of the Flintstones, where there was a character called the Shmoo. You guys remember the Shmoo?
No.
He was a blobby ghost looking guy. He inexplicably existed in the Flintstones universe, and he was like just schmooing around, and they call him the Shmoo.
You know what? Blue knew. Is GNU. It's like the street name for the wildebeest. But I don't know how good they would be at finding clues. A cat might be better just because they're more...
Okay.
They seem like they have higher dexterity levels.
Yeah. Hey!
Yeah. So before we begin, tell us what you think about that animal idea. What kind of animals should we go with for our children's show? And don't think we're joking about children's content, folks. Can't spoil it too much, but we get in weird situations. I was thinking we could start
today's show and start off this week with a surprise announcement to one of our longtime conspiracy realists, Phil G. Phil, happy birthday. If you're hearing this the day it comes out, it's your birthday. And turns out that your wife, Amanda, is top notch, a real keeper. Amanda wrote to us and said it would be a cool present for you to get a shout out on air and even a happy birthday. Now, legally, we can't sing the song. It's one of the most like dangerous songs to sing on air on the planet.
Didn't that one go back into public use? I thought
something happened with that. I don't remember. I know there was a urban legend that Michael Jackson owned it, or that he bought it from Paul McCartney or something. I just for some reason remember seeing a thing that it was like back in the fair to use zone, but I could be wrong.
I wonder. Let's see.
Quickly, while you're doing that, Phil, I want you to know that we're aware that your birthday was on Sunday. Okay, so it's cool. We get that. We just wanted to wish you a happy birthday today because it's the closest we'd be able to wish you a happy birthday.
Exactly. Well, Phil sounds like a great guy. Him and Amanda both. I don't think you all send us an angry letter about timing. We're doing our best, just like everybody else here in 2022. But happy birthday to you, Phil.
Happy birthday indeed. And apparently we're safe to sing it, though we don't have to do that. Because in 2015, the copyright claim was declared invalid. Warner Chappell Music had claimed it previously, and they were ordered to pay back $14 million in licensing fees. We're in the clear.
I think we're both looking at the same BBC article, the common song you can't sing in public, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So Phil, here's to you, man. Happy New Year. I am relatively militant about the celebration of birthdays. I think they're the only real New Year a person gets. Every other New Year is, just my opinion here, kind of an arbitrary thing based on the calendar. But except for birthdays, that one's yours. Take it, roll with it, have an amazing day. In the meantime, no matter what happens on Phil's birthday week, he is going to be having a better week than Alex Jones. Alex Jones, you'll remember, is a longtime host of right-wing conspiracy theory thing called InfoWars. Alex Jones and our show have never spoken. We don't agree on a lot of things, but he has done a lot in terms of giving us a great opportunity to do impressions, which are sometimes similar to the Nixon impression. Here's what's going on.
I'm Alex Jones, and to hear more.
There we go. Yes. So Alex Jones is the creator and point man for an outfit called InfoWars. Back in the day, InfoWars and Above Top Secret were two great websites to find alternative viewpoints and to find weird out there fringe news or conspiracy stuff. Over time, they both got increasingly politicized and kind of weaponized, and they began focusing more and more on the realm of U.S. politics. And this was a conscious decision on the part of those forums. They also became a little more antagonistic toward what we call the mainstream media. And this started to reach ahead in the case of Sandy Hook. For anybody who is unaware, the Sandy Hook shooting was a horrific event in 2012, December 14th, 2012. There was a shooting by a 20-year-old named Adam Lanza. It resulted in the deaths of 28 people, and Sandy Hook was an elementary school. It also just got in the crosshairs of people who believed that the whole thing was made up. So they were going to parents whose children had literally died at a school, and they were accusing them of being part of some grand conspiracy that we looked at back in the day, and there just wasn't much support for the idea. It really seemed like people were forcing a narrative on this tragedy, and it was a narrative that had no foundation, no supporting evidence. And you can imagine this is traumatic beyond words for the survivors.
Wait, so you can't just say anything about anybody at any time?
Well, here's the the thing.
But didn't those lawyers like literally say he's an entertainer? He's not to be taken seriously.
I think that was in a second.
Sorry. That was in a different case too, with his like kids or something. Please continue.
That's when he got high off chili.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Just quickly, in the case of Sandy Hook, there was real singling out of individuals who were victims, like families in this case. And that's why it's really messed up when you compare it to other instances of a conspiracy where, you know, it's a more of a general statement about government agents did this or, you know, crisis actors in general. Right. But there were specific allegations against people, and it's bad.
And here's what's happening. So freedom of speech is different from something called defamation. He was in court for defamation, and this lawsuit has been going back and forth. Originally, he offered to pay $120,000 per plaintiff in this group lawsuit by relatives of the shooting victims, who said he was defaming them by saying this massacre never actually happened. They rejected the money. A Connecticut judge found him liable for damages in that case. And it goes into what you were mentioning, Matt, not just harassment, but death threats from Jones's followers. Well, InfoWars may not be around much longer, at least not in its present form, because the news just broke. Yesterday or today, as we record on April 18th, 2022, when taxes are due, and InfoWars has filed for bankruptcy. They have filed for bankruptcy, and in court records, they call themselves a conspiracy-oriented website and media company. They said they have $50,000 or less in assets, U.S. dollars, and somewhere between $1 million to $10 million worth of liabilities. There were also two other holding companies that are pleading this Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The filing with InfoWars said there's a, quote, substantial likelihood that once damages are determined in the Texas case, there are multiple court cases in play now, that they will not have the money to pay the Connecticut plaintiffs because they'll be straight up out of cash. And right now it's unclear what the bankruptcy, what the permanent effect of it will be on InfoWars. You can read a ton about this. It made the New York Times, it made NPR, it made Wall Street Journal. But right now everybody is trying to figure out what exactly is going to happen here. And there are people who are saying, look, this guy is exercising free speech. He's exercising his opinion. But if you can make the case that there is defamation, or you can make the case that someone is encouraging violence against other people, that's a very different thing. Like in this country, it's legal to go out and espouse crazy, crazy views. Like it's legal to go out on your favorite street in anywhere USA and say whatever ridiculous stuff you want in general. Like if you go out and you say, it is my opinion that the Welsh are the supreme version of human beings and everybody else is terrible, well, you'll be wrong first, because there's not really any basis to any kind of supremacist argument. But then also what you're doing is legal. And if you make a protest that is like for Welsh supremacy, I'm just picking Welsh people here. I've never run into these views. But if you make a protest for that, or a rally or whatever, then all you have to have is the right permits to do so, you know, because then it's just like a public safety thing. But the conversation changes if you say, I like encourage violence against all people who are not Welsh, right? Or you say we're going to take Wales back by attacking Buckingham Palace or something. Then that's closer to a terroristic threat, right? And this is what people are arguing about right now. I wanted to look deeper into this, guys, so I went to InfoWars, which is still up, and I just want to read this headline to you because I thought you'd like to hear this. Did Alex Jones / InfoWars declare bankruptcy? Tune in to learn the capital letters truth. They didn't write out capital letters. It's just, you know, we're an audio podcast. So putting that in there. their idea is that they're, this is a takedown because somebody is speaking truth to the power of the globalist agenda, and they're defending the First Amendment. So sorry, what do you guys think of that? Yeah.
The chuckle there. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, it's all theater. I mean, you know, you mentioned Above Top Secret. Isn't that the name? The other site? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And InfoWars sort of following a similar trajectory. I wonder if they're sort of following the Fox News model where they realize they can sell a lot of advertising and make mm-hmm. money if they rile people up and become more of like a sort of rabble rouser and sort of create contentious debates and stir misinformation as opposed to disinformation. Well, whatever. Anyway, but do you think that has to do with it? Like they realized it was a moneymaker to go that route?
Absolutely.
Or do you think it was something? Yeah. Okay.
I absolutely think so. It's a profit driven enterprise, not in it just for funsies.
For sure. With Above Top Secret though, I remember we talked with some of those guys a while ago and it seemed, mm-hmm. I didn't get that sense at the time, at least, but I haven't been back, honestly, and this is just full disclosure, I haven't been back to Above Top Secret in a good while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you go there now, it's still online, and it isn't near as politically focused. I think what happened in a lot of cases, especially as we get closer to the recent presidential elections, because Above Top Secret is like a community forum wherein anybody can post something, it's easy for foreign agents of disinformation to start poisoning the well, start tilting the conversation. This is happening every day on Twitter. This is happening every day on Reddit. If you go to a place with a community conversation ability, like the capability to host community conversations, you're going to see people trying to tilt a narrative. And they're going to do it in a dishonest way. And they are also for profit. They're also paid by, Russia via proxies, China via proxies, probably the U.S. via proxies. Let's be honest. Everybody's into it. It just works super well. But if you go to Above Top Secret right now, you'll see posts that say things like Easter is a pagan holiday. Whoever celebrates Easter is pagan and not Christian. That's one of the golden oldie hits.
We did a video on that.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. And it's
prove me wrong. Right. Prove me wrong.
Then there's a lot of anti-Ukraine stuff there. They are heavily politicized, saying things like, "Oh, let me just pick one here." There are some things that are interesting, like complex life may have started on Earth much earlier than we thought. But then there are other things like President Biden sees or senses people who are not in our dimension. That's based on the recent gaffe he had where he finished the speech. He's like, I'm going to stand up to do this. So he finishes this speech. And at the end of it, he turns around to like shake someone's hand. But there's no one there. And so he improvs. He just turns and points to the people like, ha ha, I gotcha. That really happened. That guy's in charge of nuclear weapons. But anyway, that's a gaffe anybody can have. We know that if you're a public figure or if you're in the realm of divisive things like politics, the quote unquote other side, your opponents are definitely going to latch on to anything you do and try to read the tea leaves of it, right? Like when former President Donald Trump would trip on things, people made this huge deal about how the guy was scared of stairs or, it just goes on. There's stuff for Hillary Clinton when she was running for president.
Well, speculation about her health as well. Like, right. Like it was all used to malign her, especially, there was particularly with her, it was like very kind of sexist rhetoric around it as well.
Yeah. It gets so silly. I mean, consider also speculation about health was treated with the same level of importance as back during the administration of former President Barack Obama, people would say, what kind of elitist orders this mustard? He's too good for America. Right. Why is he wearing a suit that color? Communist stuff like that. But anyhow, one to give you this update here. Right now, there are still some things that have to be cleared up, but this may be the end of InfoWars. We want to know whether you think that's a rightful consequence of their actions, whether that is instead, as some people are alleging, whether that is part of an orchestrated conspiracy to take down people speaking truth to power.
Ben, was there ever a point where he could have walked it back, but instead he doubled down?
Multiple points.
I kind of thought so.
Yeah, this was not his first rodeo in this conversation. But we're going to pause for a word from our sponsors. Can't wait to hear your views. Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com. 1-833 stuff they don't want you to know. We'll be right back with more strange news.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Ben, you beautifully teased this story as a somewhat short and underwhelming car chase. And that is accurate. In San Francisco, SFPD pulled over a car for a routine traffic stop. It was nighttime. This car did not have its headlights on, which we know is a no-no. And police in San Francisco stopped the car And it happened to be an autonomous car operated by a company called Cruise. And the car is a General Motors designed driverless car. And in this incredible video, it was posted on April 1st, which I think maybe some people might have thought that the audio was doctored or something because of the date, you know, April Fools. But you see the car getting pulled over. And then you hear like just off in the side, like from the peanut gallery, like, ain't nobody in it. This is crazy. This is crazy. We're living in the future. The funniest part, though, is to get back to the underwhelming car chase, is the car pulled over, you know, as expected, for the flashing blue lights and all that stuff. And then once the officer approached the vehicle and, you know, realized there was nobody in the car like took off. Which is the funniest part. Trevor Noah did a bit on this, and he was like, that car took off like it had weed on it or something like that. But to be fair, it's San Francisco, so that probably would have been okay. It's like, be cool, man, be cool. But yeah, I mean, then it pulled over again, and that's mainly the story. There is a response from Cruise personnel saying that our AV yielded to the police vehicle, then pulled over to the nearest safe location. An officer contacted Cruise personnel and no citation was issued. Okay, but I think that the thing that I'm most interested in this story is obviously it's a silly, goofy story, but who gets the citation even if it was issued? Like, they say that the lights were in fact off, and that was due to human error. But like, which human? Like, is when they say human error, they didn't go into detail. Does this mean someone back in mission control like didn't turn the lights on? You'd think even cars that you drive, like modern cars, they usually have sensors on them that turn the lights on automatically at night. You'd think a driverless car would at the very least have that. So like, what human error, and who gets the ticket? And I know we've talked about this before in terms of like, you know, if a driverless car were to kill or injure somebody, that liability would be on the corporation, I guess, or would it? I don't quite even remember how far down that rabbit hole we went. But with corporations being, you know, for all, I guess, at least for political purposes, being treated as humans, like what is the implication for this? And the bigger picture, I think one takeaway for me is this technology is still hilariously not ready for, you know, mass rollout, because this is, you know, San Francisco is ground zero for this kind of stuff. So they try things out there. But what's next? And how many more embarrassing autonomous vehicle stories are we going to see over the next handful of years?
We're going to see a lot. Basically, short answer. I mean, it's something I know that back in when the first at-fault autonomous car accident happened, it was a Google car. It was a Google prototype. And they ended up taking responsibility for this. It was a Lexus RX, and it struck a public transit bus, but it was only going like 2 miles an hour. And There was human error involved, but there was also software error involved because it was experimental. But that was one of the first real world events that prompts the conversation. It's still like going on now. The legislation, like I always say, is going to take a while to catch up to the technology. In this case, maybe it would be the people who own that car that tried to go on the lam briefly, or the people who programmed it. If it's owned by a company, it's going to be the company, right? Unless there is like a rogue human driver at the wheel. It's tough because that car doesn't have a customer yet, right? This is an experimental car.
That's correct. Yeah, there's another company called Waymo that has also gotten sort of like a trial permission to deploy autonomous cars. But they have a thing where like it's basically like a novelty at this point, where it's like, ooh, I want to get a Lyft in a driverless car. And in order to participate, drivers have to apply in advance to be on a wait list and then also sign non-disclosure agreements in order to get early access. And you got to imagine, too, that if you're doing that through an app, I mean, I'm sure there's waiver type situations, even when you're getting in Lyft, like you can't necessarily sue Lyft if you get into an accident. I don't know. I don't read the fine print on all that. But
well, hey, whoa. Yeah. Guys, don't you think there's going to be at some point a terms of service agreement that you have to sign in order to get a driver's license as there's more and more automated vehicles on technology. The road?
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, good point. Just even just by participating, just by driving around, you're like in the mix.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
by choosing to drive, to actively drive a vehicle, you are like removing certain rights to sue certain companies or whatever, because their system is fine. You may make the human error.
Driving's not a right. It's a privilege.
That's right. And Ben, we've talked on Ridiculous History about the history of the pedestrian and the term jaywalker. And jaywalker was a term of abuse that was applied to pedestrians at a time where the almighty automobile was really just coming into its prominence. And the infrastructure was all designed around roadways for cars with much less focus on pedestrians. So there was this, almost this like active campaign to like malign pedestrians, and the term jaywalker was thrown around that way. I wonder, I mean, obviously, ideally, all cars would be driverless or, you know, on a track or something. It would, you know, big picture, if it was done correctly, take forever, of course, it would, you know, theoretically reduce traffic deaths. But what about the last holdout? It's like, nah, man, I still want to drive my own car. Are human operated cars going to at some point become illegal or require some massive high level of insurance that'll price people out?
Gattaca style. Yeah. Yeah. I bring up the jaywalking thing. There's a great Car Stuff episode we did about it a few years back, but I bring it up because it's very effective propaganda. If you're a fan of this show, you'll be a fan of that story. Second, it is illustrative of how these nationwide conversations end up happening. Usually the consumer is vastly outmatched in this. For the easy answer about who gets the ticket, this is the very dumb answer, okay? In theory, because driverless cars are designed to, one, never go over the speed limit, two, only be where they're supposed to be, and three, follow all traffic laws, your easiest, dumbest first answer is that driverless cars will never get tickets while they're driving themselves. Obviously, that's not correct because they got a lot of bugs to work out. But I think right now the legal consensus is if the owner or the driver of the car is involved in some traffic incident that results in a ticket and it's due to the software, if you can prove it was due to the software, then the manufacturer is at fault, not the meatbag behind the wheel.
Got it. And this system, you know, back to what I was driving at earlier, would obviously be more efficient, the fewer.
Yeah, I get it too.
Sorry, what happened?
Driving at.
You were driving at this, the thing. Oh, sorry. Yeah. It was a play on words, even if you didn't mean it.
Ah, yes. Of course. Accidental pun. But, you know, what I was getting at earlier was the idea that this system would obviously function at the highest level and the most predictable level if it was like 100% automated cars. And the more variables that are introduced by, you know, human driven cars are going to throw all those calculations and systems and sensors into a less ideal kind of scenario.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I agree. I've brought this up like in the past too. The issue is the infrastructure. If every car is autonomous or every vehicle is autonomous, then barring some kind of coronal mass ejection event or a widespread hack, then everything will be hunky-dory. And that would be a beautiful world for a lot of people to live in, even though it would probably mean the end of an ownership society or further erosion of it. The danger is clear. It's going to be that transition period. And there's going to be a, you know, I was thinking of, I never said this on air, but there is the possibility that there will be pockets wherein autonomous vehicles are not allowed, and those will increasingly be known as almost like green zones where humans can still drive, like secret or secure military installations might be part of that. There might be some old relict populations of human driven cars in towns that have decided to ban things. I mean, that's a possibility. There's a town in Michigan that still has banned cars, I believe it is. There all kinds of ways these things will play out. And of course, there's the looming possibility of large scale cataclysmic war that will make autonomous vehicles a way lower priority. Hope that doesn't happen, but I agree. I would like to think that we're on the same page with a lot of the big thinkers in the automotive space now, which is that ultimately, despite whatever incidents might occur, ultimately, you can make a really solid argument that streets are safer with autonomous vehicles. But the big problem is, and this is what keeps me from going all aboard with it. What if those cars all come with, you know, kill switches that can be activated by authorities? Of course, they're all going to be tracked. They'll essentially have to with a large scale system. And then what if that authority becomes an oppressive, you know, big brother regime? What if we get an autonomous car system in the US or in maybe a European country, since it's so much smaller, it'd probably be easier to do there. And then they get a dictator in power and someone who breaks whatever democratic system they have. And now it's impossible to protest. It might even become impossible to leave. I mean, that sounds really paranoid because it kind of is, but that doesn't make it something we shouldn't think about. That's what freaks me out about it.
It's a good point. I mean, because, like, you know, infrastructure like roads and street signs and traffic lights and all that is owned essentially and operated by the government. And if that started to get more and more high tech, I would imagine they would also own that too and operate that too. And if a bad actor were in place, not to mention things like hackers and all that, like you said, then they could just co-opt the whole system and make it, you know, to whatever ideological kind of direction they wanted it to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Back to anyway, bicycles. Lots to unpack.
Wait. No, you guys, we have to talk about something really fast before we jump away from here or end the segment. Have you all ever had a vehicle that has, when you look at your lights, switches off, auto on? Is that familiar to you guys? That's what I've had. That's what I had in my old vehicle.
That's what I was saying. Like, I mean, most of the newer cars are like that. Either they have like some kind of sensor, which would be auto, I imagine. Why does off even need to exist in that situation? Is that what
this
you're
is what I wanted
wondering?
To bring up. Do you guys trust your vehicle enough to leave it on auto at all times? Just hoping that everything works out and your battery never dies because your lights stayed on for one reason or another.
I'd probably be more worried about the battery. Yeah, no, I'm with you there, Matt. That's a good point.
Me neither.
I don't trust that. Cars, news, or wildebeest, don't trust them. But yeah, no, that's a good question. Cars are slowly becoming autonomous, you know, like cars that can park themselves, not just parallel park, but like drop you off at the mall, if you're one of the people who still goes to the mall and they can find a parking spot. Cruise control is an early autonomous quality, if you think about it. It's on the way.
Speed, too.
I see what you're getting at, though. The human error that the company copped to could have been anything from, like could have been just a design flaw by human error.
Yeah.
And the human that designed the thing screwed up and did a bad job. Or it was installed incorrectly or something. And it's been corrected. But I just, you kind of answered my question as to like who the human in that scenario might have been.
Yeah. When Anders last was working on the vehicle, he turned the lights to off instead of auto, you know, common problem.
Ah, there you go. So not a design thing necessarily, literally like someone that was, you know, cleaning it out. And
I don't know.
I'm with you. There's a couple options, but anyway, this is interesting stuff. And it's funny how a simple little silly story like this can easily, up a good bit of conversation, but it's something that's going to keep generating conversation for a long time to come as we watch this kind of fumbling process unfold. But let's take a quick break and then we'll be back with one more piece of strange news.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. You guys, I was thinking about buying Twitter. You guys want to go in on that with me?
Yeah, I got five on it.
I'm saving up for a dirigible. Bill. But I support you. Matt, let me ask you. So Twitter has always struggled to turn a profit. Why do you want to buy it?
Well, you know, it's mostly because I've got several billion just lying around. Mm-hmm. A lot of crypto. I'm trying to find a way to offload some of that. And also people are kind of mean to me on there. So
I was going to say, you don't like the way they edit your tweets, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Just joking. That's it for Elon Musk jokes for the day. Let's jump to this next story, which I have to say is somewhat confirmed. Ben, you were able to confirm this via someone who sent some messages to you. Do you want to shout that person out just before we even get into it?
Oh, yeah. Let's do a couple quick shout outs. Most particularly right now to Dan C or Dan_Seta over on Twitter. Dan, thanks so much. He's a regular commentator on my Twitter and on conspiracy stuff. And he hipped me to this story. And then, you know, we kind of group minded the three of us because this is at first it's really good. Being positive.
Okay, all right.
First, it's really good.
All right. It seems good, I think, but there's some implications. It's all about the implications for me. Here's the story that's coming to us from the Moscow Times. It was posted today as we record April 18th, a Monday. Or at least it was updated last at that time. Title is Google Maps Removes Blurring for Russia's Military Sites. And I'm just going to read some of this to you and just paraphrase a bit of it. Several Russian strategic facilities were visible to users today on Google Maps, revealing the details of Russia's military infrastructure. There are several searches you can make on Google Maps right now to find images of, quote, military bases intercontinental ballistic missile launch pads, naval facilities, and key command posts all across Russia. Some of the newly available images, still quoting Moscow Times here, include an aircraft carrier, a nuclear weapons store near Murmansk, submarines in Kamchatka, and a military airbase in the western city of Kursk. And that right there, just that alone, knowing that this is happening and it's existing, is kind of terrifying to me in a lot of ways. Also, neato. But also, why?
I mean, if it's true and they did that, the implication would be that it would be to like help Ukraine in the war effort.
Well, but okay, we're going to get into the bigger thing here, because you don't have to necessarily use Google Maps satellite imagery to help Ukraine, right?
Well, of course,
there are military satellites that are probably better. But so, like, what it seems like to me, well, I know I hear you, but what I think is, you, by using Google, you're kind of skirting around having another country helping you out, or NATO helping you out as Ukraine.
Ding, ding,
you've
ding.
Got a private company within the United States, but they're a private company. We're not associated with the U.S. military.
Oh, sure.
Alphabet
except
is.
When I we mean, are.
Except they really are.
As if, like, started by. Okay, whatever.
Right? Exactly.
I mean, it's like saying the man with the iron fist was not associated with Quentin Tarantino. Like, he put his name on it, but he probably did other stuff. Anyway, whatever. That's not the best analogy.
He was just around, you know? He was just on set a little bit. Nah, it wasn't, like, him
all. Yeah. But the thing is, like, the thing here is that, Matt, I'm so glad that you're interested in this story as well, because, yeah, you have to question the source. There's clearly a bit of political calculus at play by being able to say, hey, we, various countries, NATO, US, et cetera, just as you said, aren't explicitly helping. So we're not turning up the boil on the pot of nuclear war or the potential for it. But also, I don't think, doesn't this give a lot of power to private tech companies? I'm just saying, we're getting closer to Cyberpunk and Shadowrun every day.
Are they supposed to know where these sites are anyway? If they're like, they just know by observing?
Well, again, this is why it feels like military is involved in some way. Or, well, there are two things here. This is kind of complicated. They've got satellites. Google has satellites that they take images of the Earth all the day, all the day, all the day, every day, all the live long day, just going to spin around, taking pictures of the Earth, and everything that is on the Earth can be seen, right? What happens is a country, a corporation, usually a government, will communicate with Alphabet or Google, whoever it is, the folks who are running it, and will say, hey, there are some coordinates that we need you to blur out because it's a matter of national security for us in X country. I've got a couple examples here. You guys can pull them up if you want to. You can actually see them on Google Maps. It may be hard as we're running our streaming recording, because it messes with bandwidth. Google Maps does that, by the way, if you didn't know that. There are a couple I pulled up where you can look at a place in Greece that's right. I think it's in Athens. It's a military base, and it is fully blurred out. A huge swath of land that you can tell there are buildings there and roads, but you can't tell what anything is. It's fully blurred out.
It's like built of airbrush.
Yes, exactly. There's another one that's in France that is another military base, completely blurred out. Huge. It's like, it looks like a city, like almost, I don't know, a good portion of a city that is fully blurred out. It's intense stuff. But then if you look at the tweet that was sent out by Ukrainian Armed Forces or Armed Forces Ukraine, you can see some of the actual images. You can find that right now if you search for it. You can just take a look at the satellite imagery. There are clear pictures of submarines that should probably not be seen. Pictures of, again, military bases in Russia that probably should not be seen. At least by regular old folks.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned this, because there are also things that show an army in not battle ready shape, honestly, like cannibalizing stuff for parts, just trying to keep the larger engine of a military running. So if at the very least, it's kind of effective propaganda, right? But
sure,
there's not a real, I would say there's not any real actionable value that's given to Ukraine from doing this, because they would have already had access to military satellite intelligence. But there is one fun thing this is related to that I want to remind you of at the end of this.
Isn't it also public knowledge or agreed upon that we are helping them with intel to some degree? Or is that still up in the air as to whether that's true or not?
I don't know the answer to that today on April 18th. I don't know officially if NATO or the United States is helping with military intelligence.
Well, they're definitely helping with hardware and logistics. So intelligence would go kind of hand in hand with that. The big red lines are things like sending in NATO troops to fight or sending in U.S. troops to fight. But giving them toys is...
Toys and intelligence are, feel like, very different things to me.
They are.
Giving them arms versus like tracking enemy troop movements, you know, that feels like very different. I honestly don't know if the United States or any allies are doing that. I just don't know.
Some high-ranking official, maybe retired, that came out and said that we're almost definitely doing that. And now I'm having a hard time finding it, but I swear I heard it was probably someone who has now been like relegated to like a, you know, high value talking head. But someone did come out and say, I think that we're doing that most likely.
Well, earlier in February, Google shut down some of the location tracking services within Ukraine and some of the areas of conflict there on purpose in order to try and prevent people from tracking civilian movements. And like where civilians were hiding and going.
I know the Wall Street Journal said about 5 days ago that the Biden administration just said they're expanding the intelligence the U.S. is giving. And I know back in March, NATO said they're stepping up intelligence sharing specifically on cyber attacks. So it might be an uneven application of stuff because, you know, still... Even when countries have common enemies, they're not friends. They're coworkers for a second, and they're not going to automatically give up everything they have because that will bite them in the ass later.
Well, and there's always obviously a line that we're not willing to cross publicly anyway, in order to maintain some semblance of like, yeah, we're not like all in, but we're definitely helping. They're not hiding that. And the rhetoric sure is heated, you know, with Biden calling Putin a war criminal and a butcher and all that stuff. So it's certainly no mincing words, but there must be a line. Once you cross, then you are now in the same line of fire as the country that's being attacked.
Mm-hmm. And those lines shift sometimes. And Russia and the U.S., to be fair, have both done that in the past. They've changed what counts as a red line in, you know, one direction or another. I do want to say, though, just as a quick tangent, this reminds me of something while we're talking about satellite blurring. You know, you, if you're listening now as a private citizen, you don't have to be a military. You don't have to be a government or a state level actor to ask Google to blur some stuff for you. You could get them to blur your house on Google Street View, and I think you should.
Unless you ever want to sell it, which you shouldn't, blur it, because Zillow and all these other places link directly to a Street View often.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, I want to take it back to actionable intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
What good, seriously, does a Google Maps satellite view do for anybody when it comes to intelligence? Let's say you're looking at a satellite image on Google Maps of nuclear submarines or nuclear capable submarines docked somewhere in Russia, or let's say even off the coast of the Crimean Peninsula. You're looking at those on Google Maps. What does that do for you? Those submarines could be docked there still. By the time that image is updated and you get a new satellite image of that area, those submarines could very well be gone and probably would be gone. There may be a hangar that has a lot of airplanes or something that are, you know, parked there temporarily, but are they going to be there the next time that satellite updates or by the time you reach that area? I don't know. Possibly. It feels like almost like a boast or a PR push, or just like, hey, yeah, we see your subs. We know your subs are there, and we're going to show everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, as in, I don't know, some kind of play that just that isn't actually military. It's more hearts and minds kind of thing.
Yeah, that's why, again, I think the primary, the most apparent push here is propaganda, because you nailed it. The subs, a good sub is not stationary, right? And so there's also, but there's also, you know, the issue of the time interval on the observation here. So Google is going to have a delay, at least for what the public can see, but the most valuable satellite data lets you factor that into upcoming attacks or operations. So if you hear claims about some, you know, kick-ass new kind of jet fighter, and then you're able to have other, it's all about jigsaw puzzling up different pieces of intelligence, right? So you have signals intelligence telling you one thing. Is it confirmed by human intelligence or an asset on the ground? And then can you look at this like real-time picture of a hangar, which the US can do, by the way, and a lot, and NATO can as well. And can you see that real-time picture and then have that moment where you go, ah, well, gee willikers, these guys might attack us with some new super plane, but it looks like they got two of them that can actually fly, or something like that, for example. And then you could allocate your resources to a more worthwhile endeavor. I mean, that's the goal. But with this, you know, we don't know how old the Google Street View stuff is, or Google Maps, excuse me. That's why I'm on the same page. That's why I want to kick it off. Like, it's, I think it's propaganda.
I mean, it sure feels like none of us were able to confirm any examples of it actually.
We were. The person we shouted out in the beginning, you can actually, I mean, I can give you the, I don't know how to read it, Ben.
I'm sorry. I thought you were saying that was
46.
I thought that was wasn't that a reference to another type of installation that was blurred, but we weren't able to confirm the Russian stuff?
Those were examples of that, but the person we shouted out in the beginning sent us some actual coordinates on Google that seemed to show specific locations where stuff, Russian stuff is going down that we're not supposed to see.
Right.
Got it.
So you can head over on Twitter and check that stuff out. But just realize that by the time this comes out, if the Russian forces don't want you to see a particular thing, then like Matt said, they're just going to move their stuff if they know what they're doing.
Except some of these are installations that would be pretty difficult to move because they are, you know, built into the ground. I'm specifically thinking about some of their missiles that are in silos and stuff. Well, that's a weird one, guys. Google's always going to exist, I think, at this point. I'm not sure how that thing isn't too big to fail. So Google will always be watching everybody, including you right now. Because you're holding a phone, or it's in your pocket. They're watching your pants. Mm-hmm. There's very little light in there, but they can see.
Is that a euphemism? I like.
Well, how long before a private tech company gets openly involved in a hot conflict? How far away are we? Do you think it's an in our lifetime thing?
And who watches the pants watchers? You know, that's what I want to know.
It'll be a meta war. And it will take place within the metaverse, and it will an uprising that occurs against Meta.
Can we have sick robot avatars with like grabby claw hands and like laser cannons?
It'll be a lot like Ready Player One, I think. Just
cool. So tired. The metaverse. All right. Well, I'm going to stick with Elden Ring for now. I got some new spells.
Yes.
As long as I don't have to play that online. Yes. This is crazy stuff. Everything we've talked about is leading to bigger situations. You know, we want to hear from you folks because at least like every story we talked about here is either at the beginning or still unfinished. They haven't been resolved. We can't wait to hear your take. You are the most important part of this show. We can't wait to hear from you. We try to be easy to find online. Not just there, but we have like so many ways you can talk to us.
Yeah. Not all the ways, but a good many of them. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on YouTube under the handle Conspiracy Stuff. On Instagram, we're Conspiracy Stuff Show. But wait, there's more.
Yes. Call our number 1-833-STDWYTK. You will hear Ben's voice, then a beep, then you've got 3 minutes. In the beginning, please give yourself a cool nickname. Let us know if we can use your voice and message on the air, and then say whatever. Give us comments on this episode. Tell us an episode you want us to cover. Anything. Just tell us about a weird thing we need to search. Maybe not on Google. Probably on something else, but we'll search for it. We don't care. Whatever. Our bosses know that we have weird search stuff on our computers. If you don't want to use your phone to talk to us, instead, why not send us an email? We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save.
UndercoverTourist.com.